Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, well, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the national anthem.
Thank you.
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And he messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by, because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off. because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay. This morning we got a very special guest on that's done something very innovative, and we're going to get to her momentarily. Of course, we feature a tiny town every day, so we're up to number 24, and we'll get to that momentarily. And man, I know what I'm looking for. Okay. So 619-768-2945 is the call-in number as well as the listen-in number. And you might want to ask some questions, but we've had some very innovative developments within the last 24 hours, to be exact. So then we want to act on those ideas as well. I'm looking for particular audio here. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. All right, we'll be back with our guests right after this.
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars tuned good and firm feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs, Lou Barry's train songs, and blue eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. So baby, baby, let's sell your diamond ring, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. This coat and tie is choking me, in your high society you cry all day. We've been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four car garage and we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Luke and Buck, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs, Newberry's train songs, and blue eyes crying in the rain, out in Luke and Buck, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. Let's go to Luke and Buck, Texas, Willie and Waylon and boys. This successful life we're living's got us feuding like the Hatfields and the Coys. Between the Hank Williams pain songs, Jerry Jeff train songs, and blue eyes crying in the rain, out in Luke and Buck, Texas, there ain't nobody feeling no pain.
Okay, Luckenbach, Texas, a town with three households, and it's over 100 years old, and it's 10 acres bigger. We got something this morning that beats that. But before we get to that and our guest, our tiny town feature number 24 is Clear Creek, Utah. And Clear Creek started out as a logging camp. It supplied lumber to the town of Winter Quarters, Utah. The population today in 2023 is 12 people. So let's go read up on, as my usual, Clear Creek, Utah. It's a census-designated place in the western edge of Carbon County, Utah, here in the United States. It's located at the south end of State Route 96 in the Pleasant Valley branch of the Union Pacific Railroad. Okay, let's see. Once again, the population is 12. The history of Clear Creek, Utah. Clear Creek was founded in the 1870s as a logging camp that supplied lumber to the nearby mining town of Winter Quarters, Utah. About 20 years after Clear Creek was founded, coal was discovered beneath the town and a mine was developed. All right, in 1898, the Denver and Rio Grande Western Railroad built a spur line from Schofield, Utah, to the mine at Clear Creek. 2 years later, the Utah Fuel Company built 25 homes, a hotel, a store, a hospital, and a schoolhouse, and a workshop, and a water plant at the in the town. From 1910 to 1920, 2,000 tons of coal was being mined per day, and Clear Creek had about 600 residents. In 1930, the need for coal began to decrease, and by 1955, the mine had cut production, and the school's population, the town's population had decreased to 150. According to the 2010 census, there were four people residing in the town. The town is currently used as a recreation and camp area for various schools, programs, and cabins. a restroom and a shower, and it has cabins there, restroom and a shower area, and a recreation and eating area. All right. And there you have it at Clear Creek, Utah, population 12. All right, no, that's 24th town. Now, let's go to, we have a special guest. And let me find my way back to the studio. And our forte now, our niche is we specialize here at It's My House and DIY Housing TV. We specialize in, you heard of, you know, startup tech companies? Well, we do startup micro towns. And particularly 2-acre towns. So we are about to speak to a mayor of a 2-acre town. And the smallest town we've had so far, now we featured Punkyville, Kentucky, which is just 1 acre big. And I think we featured one of them, but Punkyville stands out. So anyway, but today we have a 2-acre town, which is part of our micro. We're founding micro townships. And pretty exciting idea. So as my phone's repopulating, okay, here we go. So no. That won't be it, so it must be this one. Okay.
Hello?
All right, that's it.
So we
I was echoing here. All right, let me try one more thing. All right, how's this? Is it any echo here? No echo. But, Madam Mayor, are you there? All right, Madam Mayor's not on that line. Let's go back to, wait a minute. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong number. All right, wait a minute. Well, let's go back to this. Equal with that one too. Well, let's try this other one. Madam Mayor. With that one too. All right, I'll go back to this one with Madam Mayor.
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Oh, Madam Mayor. Let me do it the right way. So, our very special guest today is Mayor Madam Mayor Robin Lynn Maben, and she is the mayor of Maben Town, Texas. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
And Madam Mayor, all right, let's give the full value to Maben Town. You were homeless for a period of time, so let's start back from your homeless days, from there to having your own town.
Okay, goodness. Air Force veteran, PTSD, and when I got out of the Air Force in 1987, I was immediately homeless. And I stayed homeless all the way until 2003, when I got my disability compensation. Mm-hmm. 15 years. And I think 1, 2, 3 different states, several different cities, different living conditions, you know, sleeping out in the open, park benches, vouchers, hotel vouchers, couch surfers, friends, you know, like that. Yeah. And it was not a pretty sight, mainly because I had undiagnosed and untreated health conditions. The PTSD went undiagnosed and untreated, and that led to a myriad of problems while I was out there. And so I got thrown in the deep end of the pool, and it was either sink or swim. And you really can't afford to, sink out there.
Now, you said you were, how long were you in the military again, Air Force?
8 years.
8 years, and you said when you got out, you were immediately homeless?
Yes.
Woo, man, that's rough. That's rough.
Well, yeah.
And you were out there 15 years. Now, what if you wanted to re-enlist? Could you have done that?
I was not eligible to re-enlist.
Okay. Man, mm-hmm. That's rough. 15, I mean, in a military 8, couldn't re-enlist, and you were immediately homeless.
Yeah.
For 15 years.
Yeah, which is more common.
So what parts of the country, and what did you do at nighttime?
I was in Washington State. Okay.
Washington State against
cold.
Yeah. So what did you do, like October, the winter months, where did you sleep at night?
Like I said, a lot of times out in the open, shelters, friends' couches, a lot of times late at night when it was really cold out, would get on, find a bus route that goes across town and back 2 or 3 times during the night and get on the back of that bus and ride and stay warm, go to the library. I enrolled in school, in college. Because the shelters, I could go be in the, like I stayed in the Salvation Army shelter for 7 months. But you had to be out from, at 10 in the morning, you had to leave until 7 o'clock at night.
Mm, well,
so I had to find some.
Yeah.
So I found, I enrolled in school. I enrolled in college. I went down to the YWCA. I love the Y. YWCA, YMCA, they work with, they partner with the community. So they had a homeless intervention program, and they paid my tuition for a semester. They bought my books. They, you know,
right.
It was pretty awesome. When people saw me trying to better myself, I mean, they just came out of the woodwork with open arms and stuff. I'm in a shelter where they only give you a little locker for all
right.
of your possessions. And people were donating and giving me stuff. Somebody had given me a 10-speed. So I had a 10-speed parked up inside the shelter. I had so many clothes that they were just stacked up on my bed. You know, I mean, I was in an abundance with things. And so some things were very hard. And I suffered a lot of abuse, unfortunately. I had some domestic violence along the way and, you know, some other unfortunate experiences. But I also, God was with me. It's just what I can tell you.
Well, you were me on a Faith Street. Well, I guess you learned where you can go get a meal. Well, I guess you had a gazillion odd jobs.
I wasn't able to work. It was really hard to get a job because you don't have a phone number. Where are you going to change your clothes? Where are you going to brush your teeth at? You know, stuff like that. And once you're on that circuit, because the shelter, you have to stand in line, and you usually have to start lining up about 5:30. Okay?
All right.
So you can spend all day long just trying in the process of getting a bed. So you stand in line. Then you get all the way up to the door, and then they go, oh, well, we're full. So then,
right.
Okay, so then you go and you find a place to hunker down or do whatever. Then you get up the next morning, and now watch this. They have places where you can stay and places where you can eat and places where you can shower and places where you can get bus tickets and all this other stuff, right? But they're all
right.
Spread out from one end of the town to the other.
Right.
And
right.
So you get up in the morning and you go eat breakfast, right? So,
right.
So if you want to get something to eat, then how are you going to go show up on time for work? Because that breakfast might be the only meal that you're going to get, because now you're spending the rest of the day job interviews, going to whatever. But basically it's to get over here so you can get back on the other side of town so you can get back in line to not get a bed again. And it's
right,
just a
right.
vicious cycle. A lot of people give up. Then when you do get to the shelters, they have so many barriers, is what I can say. Now, never mind the barriers you already have, you know, your income, your race, your circumstances, but they create barriers as well, because they want to get all in your business. Well, how did you get to this point? And how do we know you're not going to get to this point again? And before we give you this money, you're going to have to, or before we give you this help, you're going to have to come to orientation. You're going to have to come to class. You're going to have to take anger management. You're going to have to do all this, that, and the other, you know?
Right.
And then you can only stay 3 days, you know.
Yeah.
And
provided,
really...
now I understand that some of these shelters, you know, although they might have security guards there, that doesn't prevent people from, you know, messing with you or, you know, stealing from you and stuff like that. I guess it all depends on the shelter.
And the security is for the building, not the people.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's the security or the police, people need to understand that, and I got this from Warren Houston, the police are only authorized to do 3 or 4 things. But we're
right.
told to call... Police, but the police is not the appropriate you know, appropriate person to always call. And most of the time they can't do anything in a situation. And it's just a waste of time, resources, and money. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we need to stop looking to we have to stand up and protect ourselves. We can't expect for just because there's a guard or the police sitting up there that they're there to protect us. Because that's just
right.
You just might be sorely disappointed is what I'm saying. So
right.
Yeah. You just have to understand, you know, everything has a purpose. You know, and a role. So you just have to understand that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True. Now, you have a town. This is a brand new spanking town called what's your vision for Mabentown?
Say that again. You broke up.
Hello?
Yeah, you broke up. What did you say?
Okay. Yeah, what's you're the mayor of a 2-acre town. And people, that's the trend. The town,
mm-hmm.
Mabentown, in which is located in Presidio County, Texas, is brand spanking. Well, the land's been there. It just got a name
mm-hmm.
in the last day or so. So you're the mayor of Mabentown. What's your vision for Mabentown? What type of community?
I want to bring in, definitely want to serve the homeless and definitely the veterans. So there'll be a housing community for that. There'll also be a community-based business with not a food court, but a food park, if you will, a community garden, a food park, greenhouse, and the driving thing for it all will be an entertainment venue, an amphitheater. Yeah.
Okay.
So
now it's
yeah.
in Texas, so how far is it from the country of Mexico? How far is it from the border?
I believe it's less than 30 miles, 50 miles. I want to say 30, 35 miles from the Mexico border.
I think it's in the 50-minute range, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It all depends on what aspect of the border that you're going to. So if you're going through the official border, in Presidio, Texas, it's like 58 minutes, but the whole county does border Mexico, so the other shorter routes, I don't know if there's a crossing there, but that we'll find that out. So, okay. Let's see. Thanks to Chris Collins, we're doing micro towns, and Mabentown is a micro town, but I also call it a 2-acre town. And I imagine it'll be a private membership to become a member or citizen of Mabentown. And let's see, we did some early brainstorming this morning, and here's what some of the things that could be ending up at Mabentown, as well as other micro towns will set up. We have faith-based. And then I'll let Robin explain some of this at that name. I've come up, even when listening to Robin speak, at least 23, I mean, I didn't come up with them alone, but here, and if anybody's got any other niches, Here we go. So faith-based organizations, and we're talking about that we can form a micro town out of each one of these niches. Faith-based organizations, returning citizens or ex-convicts, displaced families, domestic violence, runaway, a two-acre town for runaway teens, trafficking victims, safe parking and hygiene, two-acre towns or micro towns, micro townships for immigrants, for the homeless and working homeless, educators, traveling nurses, first-time homeowners. Got a problem with child support? We can help you develop a town, a two-acre town, or even 20-acre town, based on so you can catch up with your child support and get ahead of it. Couch surfers, get off the couch and get into your own township. SRO, single-room occupancy, that's a huge demographic. Sex offenders, find it, you know, you got a heart, you can't live anywhere. Set up townships for that. Retired people, you're on a limited budget. And all our two-acre towns will be off the grid. They're off the grid. So low expenses.
Migrant and seasonal workers.
Okay, wait a minute. Migrant workers, hold it, that's 24. Migrant workers. That's an excellent niche. We also have military vets. Oh, and a kids' village. Where you got kids and grandkids. We can train them on how they can actually build their own town, two-acre town, micro town. We can show them from 11 to, 18, 19, something like that, 18, 19, let's say 18. All right, we're up to 24, Robin.
Okay.
So we can do anything from 2 acres to 20 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 24 niche market communities. And people out there listening, if you have any suggestions, 619-768-2945. And, of course, we need boots on the ground
also,
people as well.
And also the back office, some people, you're billed. So another number that you can call is 971-379-9537.
All right. And all right, so we got 24 niche markets. We're going to post this on our Facebook page, and I guess we're going to take the top five where we have boots on the ground people and run with this. Okay, so. And after we get a couple of victories here, a few more victories, like Maventown, then we'll be doing stuff globally as well. So, all right, so. What will be so far, because this is new, what will be the requirement to become a citizen or a member of Maventown?
I don't have all of that determined yet, but it will be membership based, probably invitation only. Recommendation of two members at least. There'll definitely be a participation fee, rules, and things like that. And then there will be a lot of benefits that you'll get from being a citizen of Maven Town. Yes. Yeah, but
good.
I don't
okay.
have
all
right. of those.
619-763. Well, yeah, you just one step at a time. It's new, but we'll announce it as soon as we have it set up. Let's see. Let's go to our phone lines. 309 area code. Your mic is open.
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Chris.
Seem like they're catching up on some background over there.
Okay, we got a lot of. We must be on to something hot because the last 2 days. We've had some technical difficulties, so we must be on something now. Let me see. I muted everybody's mic, so I'm going back to Chris again. Okay, Chris, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, no echo now. Okay, so any thoughts, comments, what have you, announcements?
Well, I love the fact that Maven Town's being shown today, knowing that there's an opportunity there. But, we do want people to know that you don't have to have a big piece of property to actually do something and make a difference. And, like you said earlier, we're going from 2 acres to 20 acres to maybe 100 acres. But if we had 100 acres, that's going to be a community that's going to have so much in it that it will be the support system for the towns that are around it. So that's the thing. We've got cities that they seem they have everything, but there's so much that they're lacking because they don't think of the person next door unless they think of them in a negative way. There really isn't no camaraderie in a community anymore. And I think it would be the first part to these communities that would show equality and show that everybody matters. Everybody's different. You're going to do something different from someone else, but it doesn't mean you don't need a chance. And like you said, we got sex offenders, we got predators out there. Well, the thing is, do we leave them out there where we don't know where they are, or do we give them the support they need so that we know where they are and they're not doing what we don't know they're not doing? There is a thing, and we're not supposed to judge each other, but every comment that comes out of every person's mouth I spoke to this week has been a judgment against something they heard or something they saw. And the thing is the people that are casting the stones are the ones that more than likely need the stones thrown at them. But that's not my job. It's not my job to throw stones at them. So the only thing I can say is it's not your job to judge that person. But it is your job to help make it to where we can all make a decision. And people create every day. So what you create, this is who and what we are. But what are you doing? Why are you here? These are key questions that people need to know. And I know that when Robin spent 15 years homeless after being a vet, that right there ought to make everybody listening have the hair stand up on your arms. She did not have the support that she had when she was in the military, because every military person loses something they've never had before after they receive it. And to me, it's been a mistake that we've had with the military since the beginning of time, is once they're out, they're a unit, and they don't have that support. But, you know, if you were asleep and you knew that if something happened, you'd be okay because somebody's watching your back. And out here in the world, people are watching their own backs. And I think that's a problem, and I'm glad that we're trying to solve it.
Right. Like I said, we name a lot of demographic groups where we had 100 acres. Like I said, 100 acres, 52-acre towns. And you got diversity right there.
Definitely. That's the thing, you know.
And yeah, on 100 acres. So, right. Man, I'm thinking about that couple in Colorado with the 1,000 acres. Let's say you had a hold of 1,000 acres of land. And you had it, 2 acre style, 2 acre town style. That's 500 towns, micro towns. And that is security. That is security, diversity, all kind of opportunity. When you have a community like that. And I imagine we'll probably put together something like that along the way. But, that's out there. So, now, Chris, yeah, you have also with, she's not here now, Dr. T, Hope, Georgia, but before we get to that, getting back to Robin. Robin, what are some of the things that, because you represent a few demographic groups, what are some of the things that, what are some of the things that you needed when you got out of the military in that first week? Share with us that experience. Oh, wait a minute. I got to open up a mic. Sorry about that, Robin. Yeah, I got to open up a mic. Let me get back to the studio here. Okay. Oh, give me a moment. Yeah, I muted everybody because of the echo. So I'm waiting for my. Okay, let me. All right, let's go here.
There we go. Hello?
Yeah. Okay. No echo. Good. Yeah, so, Robin, what was your experience that first week out of the Air Force?
Oh, goodness.
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Yeah. I dread because I knew that on my last day serving, when I left, that I was going to go home and prepare to leave up out of my apartment because I had nowhere to go and I had no money to pay the next month's rent. So I needed a job. I needed employment. The military, they don't. Okay, so watch this. When you go in the military, they train you. They basically put you on command. Okay? So let's look at a canine.
an attack dog. They'll go, they'll put them on command, and then when it's completed its task, they will go down, boy, okay? So they never, in the military, they put us on command. They train us to kill and do all this other stuff, right? Go in and infiltrate, take over. But they never take us off command. A dog will go, good boy, down boy. But they never take us off command. They never debrief us. And then they never transition us. They never give us any support back into civilization. Gen pop is what I call it. General population. And a lot of the jobs that you have in the military, they don't transfer over. Like I was a telephone operator, computer operator, all of that. Well, when I went and applied at AT&T, AT&T tells me we're only hiring part-time and entry-level. And I had, you know, 10 years experience, supervisory experience, all of that. That insulted me, you know. I was like, and then they said, we don't acknowledge your experience. There's some fields they just don't transfer over into the civilian life like that.
Right.
And so you're standing there, I was just utterly dismayed. I've got experience, I've got knowledge, and I can't get a job that's going to pay me worth anything.
Right.
You know? I eventually did end up getting a job, but it was maybe three months before I started working. And by that time, I mean, I'm down a rabbit hole. Then I went to stay at a friend's house. I didn't have money to pay her, but I had a $500 savings bond. So I cashed that in, and I bought a car for her so that, you know, compensation. Well, when the girl got the car, she took her little happy butt to the club and partying instead of to the NCO club instead of watching my child for me. So you know, that fell out, you know. Now I ain't got nobody to watch my child. Now I ain't got all this. So now I'm out there with my child, so now I have to let my child go live with my family. And my family, they could have been more supportive in how they helped me. So they ended up adopting my son, but. And then they had me, like, stay away. So it's like, wow, it's like I'm ostracizing, but I haven't even done anything wrong. You know, so now I'm homeless. I'm out here like that. And I had mental illness, undiagnosed and untreated. On top of that.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, that rabbit hole got deep real fast, and then I started getting boyfriends, and these were psychopaths and stuff, you know. These were sociopaths, very dangerous people that like to victimize people that couldn't fend for themselves, or so they thought.
Right.
I got God my side. So you don't want none of this. For those that don't know. Anyway.
Okay. Well,
you know, but there was a lot. So what I would have needed was more transitional support from the military into transitioning back into civilian life, support in the way of job search, even referrals, you know, because if they can do that thing where you have this veteran preference and stuff and points for hiring, I don't even know
right.
if they still do all that, but then they can consider that too, you know. I'm just saying. Anyway.
Right. Well, now what? So what are some of the? Well, no, you haven't planned that out yet. You haven't planned that out yet. So, well, I'm sure Maybentown will be a lifesaver.
Things kind of get planned when you ask the question.
Okay, well, let's say a person, because Maventown is like about at least 2 hours away from El Paso, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
At least 2 hours, if not more. So let's say somebody just got out of the service, military. What age did you get out of the military?
I was 25, 26, 27.
All right. So let's say there's a 26-year-old, 27-year-old that just got out of the Air Force in El Paso, Texas, which is at least 2 hours away from where you are right now, you know, Maventown.
Mm-hmm.
What? How could they find out about you in Maventown, that is, and what will you have available for that person in Maventown? But they're in El Paso right now, though. They're at El Paso at the bus depot or the train station or the airport, and they don't know where they're going to sleep that night.
So they would, and remember, I always say the best place to reach people or get the word out, get the news out, is to meet them where they're broken or where they break. Okay, so for example, they're standing in line to get a bed at the shelter. They get in line at 5 o'clock, right? And the doors aren't open until 7-8 o'clock, right? And they go and they, even though they stand in line 2 hours early, some people start lining up at 3 o'clock. Okay? And they get all the way up to the door and they go, "Oh, we're full. You're not getting a bed tonight." That's the point where they're broken, and while they're in that line, you want to meet them where they're broken or where they break. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So
I'm sure
there are places like that within the county.
I would put the news out at I am big on partnering with already existing. So the shelter places, the missions in town, definitely the YWCA, the YMCA, Catholic Community Services, you know, like that. And then also, I have radio and TV, and I'm have an advantage because I can reach people. We're in people's on people's TVs right now.
Okay.
So I've got the radio and TV, so I would put the word out. And also, I would stand in line. We'd only have to do it once. I would go in one of those lines once. I would go walk the street just one night and walk the street and say, hey, we have this going on. This is available over in Maventown, over in Presidio County. You go over here about 30 miles as the crow flies, and there you go. Okay?
Right.
Got this for you, this for you, this for you, okay? And it's not a place that here's just a room for you, and you can, it's going to be a really nice living facility in a really nice community, okay, geared for veterans, particularly veterans, if I can help it, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, you can do that in this place. Every town was formed basically to meet people's needs, specific needs.
Yeah.
Now, that's what we have. I mean, like Indiana's got like over 1,000 towns in that state. But so Texas had, you know, if Houston, San Antonio, Austin, Amarillo, Lubbock, if those towns don't appeal to you, then you can find your own patch of dirt. And we'll have classes on that. Or if you just want to live a quiet life by yourself, and the class is called Your First 20 Acres, and then we'll give you information on this week on how to get in on it.
There's definitely the community-based business going on. And more than one, so that it can, it's going to be a self-sustaining community as well.
Right. Well, it sure will be. Let's see, we have another call here. Area code 323. The mic is open.
Greetings. Brian Franklin, Los Angeles, California. Founder of BAMGives.com. We actually give to nonprofits, so they do the work that they need to get done to eradicate hunger, eradicate homelessness, eradicate war. That's the bottom line. I was invited by Chris Collins. And so with that said, I just called in, so I'm not sure exactly what you're discussing. I heard a little bit about sustainability and things of that nature. Chris, are you able to speak also?
Oh, let me open his mic.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yes, sir. I am here.
Mike, you're welcome.
Okay, so you invited me to give me a little. I shared the bottom line what we do. Is there anything else you want me to share, Brother Chris?
Oh, yeah, I want you to talk again because it's for one, they need to know your website so that way there's people that's listening that's in LA, so they if they can find you and because you haven't been found and you're already there. They need to know what kind of support that you are bringing. And, I'm part of the organization of BAM. So I'm one of the nonprofits that actually benefit from people getting involved in this organization. And, what our show is about right here is social equity, housing our homeless, getting our veterans off the street, giving them the support they need for the PTSD. And show people that they matter with equality and having an opportunity to have something. We give purpose to people. And, I shared, I've been sharing the link out, and I'm glad that Brian came in. And, he's been doing this on the ground. Every third Sunday, he's sitting on Skid Row. First, third, and fifth
Wednesday. On Wednesday, I'll be there tomorrow. Go ahead, brother.
I was trying to catch it. There's two times a month that he's out on Skid Row personally working
with
these people.
And we're going to start doing every Thursday also. But go ahead, Brother Chris.
Oh, no. Actually, I'm just going to give it back to you. You tell him what you're doing. So that way I don't get it wrong.
Okay.
We ain't going that way.
Very good, very good. So bottom line, you all, I'm here in Los Angeles, homeless capital of the United States of America. Over 75,000 people living on the street, 75,000. And again, if you don't remember anything I say, please remember this, BAMGives.com, BAMGives.com. From that website, you can click solutions. You'll see the solutions that we're putting in place. Something you don't know, Chris, something that is confidential. However, it'll be public in about 7 to 14 days, so you guys are getting something before it hits the public. I've been asked to participate in a solution-based model for the homeless in Los Angeles. It's called SOS. SOS is an acronym for Shelter on Ship. We are in the process of bringing up to 10 ships, cruise ships, to the Long Beach Harbor and San Pedro Harbor. Each ship will house up to 5,000 people. 5,000 times 15 is 75,000. So bottom line, everyone off the street in a heartbeat. We bought the domain, and that is shelteronship.com. You'll find them on our site, bamgives.com. This will be public in the next 7 to 14 days. So there you have it. There's a quick overview, but please, bamgives.com. is everything we're doing, and I'm done speaking. Thank you.
Congratulations. When I was on Amtrak to Los Angeles, we passed, you know, you've got the scenic view. I don't know exactly where I was, somewhere in California, though, and they had – there were some old Navy ships parked there, and they were set to be destroyed. And I was looking at those, and I was like, why don't they use those to house these people in the tent cities? And so I'm ecstatic to hear what you're saying. And I'm going to try to remember where the location for those Navy ships are at, because why not add those into the mix too? But good job. Ooh, good job.
Just so you know, we have we have as many ships as we need. That's the easy part. That's done. Again, up to 15. There will be one first pilot program. Again, you're hearing something that virtually no one knows about. It's very confidential. It'll be public in 7 to 14 days. Remember, BAMGives.com. Thank you so much, Chris. We have a room we're doing in 16 minutes, so I got to get off. Does anybody have any questions for me before I hop off?
What room? I'm assuming you're talking about Clubhouse, so. If a person doesn't know anything about Clubhouse, how can they get in on their conversation with them?
Yes. Clubhamhouse.technologists, by the way. We're a technology company. And so what we work to do is make it easy for people to get our message. And so regarding Clubhouse, all you have to do is go to clubhamhouse.com. Thank you for asking.
All right, that's simple enough, and that's in the next 14 to 15 minutes.
9 a.m. Pacific time.
Okay. All right, and it's 11:45 here right now. All right, well, I appreciate it. Chris, any other comments on it?
Well, I want to say thank you. Am I muted?
No, you're
we hear you, brother.
Perfect. No, thank you. And you know what? This man is the image. That's what I love. You know, and so is L.A., you know, he's been doing this show. Just so you have a little background on this man, he's been doing this show for 9 consecutive years. We're almost, we're a little over 9.5 years right now, right? Because December
24th
is his 10-year anniversary. And it's been about just educating people. So, you know, when he's not asking for nothing in return, to show up every day and do something for others, you know, it shows me what kind of person he is. But I know that's what kind of person you are. And I know that Robin, she's went through things that so many veterans have went through. And here she wants to be a solution to the problem. And she's acting on it. So we are doing 2-acre towns, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And we can set up 2-acre communities all over. So anywhere that might be around the LA area, if we can work with other organizations and get this moving, we have the ability to bring the framework and the housing and the communities, the food to the community. And we need people to know that they have this opportunity and they are part of the solution. Now, also in LA, we know that every house that's in LA can have an ADU in the backyard.
Yes.
They can have more than one ADU in the backyard. And we happen to have a man on that lives in LA that's on Airbnb, has 2 of these in his backyard. And he was a police officer there and he retired and got out of the force because he was making $9,000 a month from his backyard. So we want to educate the people in LA that we want to help them be financially secure, not worry about their 9-to-5, and help. For one, they're going to help the people that come to LA with a place to stay because you can have a unique Airbnb, or you can have a transitional housing unit. Either one of them, your city's paying for. I know that L.A. is paying up to $800,000 for 4 walls and a bathroom right now for the homeless. And there's private individuals that are getting rich from it. We need to stop the greed and meet the need. And I know
very
that's
well said. Very well said, brother. Hey, I gotta run. Thank you so much, Chris, for inviting me in. And again, if you don't remember anything I said, please remember this: BAMGives.com. BAMGIVES.com. I'm Brian Franklin, and I approve that message. And I'm done speaking. Bam.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you for dropping in.
All right. Look forward to being part of your 10-year anniversary also. I love what you're doing. Let's definitely collaborate because we should do more actions and less talk. I'm done speaking.
Okay, bam. All right. Well, as Chris mentioned, Chris came up with the brand, the label, or niche, micro towns, and none of that. We have the 2-acre towns, and and we want to. We've come up with 24 niche markets within that, and we'll post it on our Facebook page, and then we'll organize on essentially attracting people, marketing the people that will fit into those niches, and. Who knows? Well, there'll be more mayors that'll be popping up. More new micro town mayors, if they want to go that route. And then it's township entrepreneurs, micro township entrepreneurs. So, let's see. Okay, so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully we'll get to a point where, now we've been naming one tiny town a day, and those are towns that have already been established. Some of those towns have, matter of fact, most of them, are over 100 years old. All right. And so we've got, I mean, towns that have started by ex-convicts, husband and wife town that was, that put, you know, they were flipping hamburgers. Luckenbach, Texas, which is over 100 years old. It's only 10 acres big. So now we've got Robin with Maven, Maventown in Texas. This is a brand new, like, say, our niche is microtown startups, two-acre towns. So Robin, we featured Madam Mayor Robin Lynn Maven today, but I'm sure we're going to get to the point where we'll be able to mention a new mayor of a two-acre town on a daily basis. So let's see. You know, that's one a day, 20, bare minimum, 20 a month. Some towns might end up being more than 20 acres, but typically, you know, we figure 2 acres is something that can be put together. And we do have, let me read it again, we have, and like I said, we'll give you hit. There'll be an established town and a new town. Now, that's what we give you every day, an established town. Now, so the categories of townships, we've got 24, if you can think of any, because we need boots on the ground people to help make this work in your neck of the woods. All of our towns will be in rural areas. We're not doing anything in the city. Okay. Let's see. We got 20. Let me rifle through, and if you got a category, press one, and we'll add to the list. Faith-based organizations, returning citizens, you know, people out of jail or prison, displaced families, townships designed to meet the needs of displaced families. And I'll tell you, now we're taking a page right out of the Mennonites and the Amish communities. Now, you don't have to wear those clothes. You know, Bible study is not required. But the common denominator with the Amish families and Mennonite families and throwing Hutterite families, number one, they're entrepreneurial-based families. So if you're a displaced family, we can help you if your family is willing to develop an entrepreneurial lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you want a government job, and there's nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with that, no communities that we put up are going to fit you. All right. Number two, if you don't have a business, you need to be interested in starting a business. And we'll have all the information that you need and all the people that you need. And if you can't get it in one particular town, two-acre town that we set up, then I'm sure because going back through, we have 24 categories, including one for children. So we're gonna wrestle up some. If you got a child, or grandchild, or great grandchild, and that's the village I'm really looking forward to set up, where we're going to teach as young as 10 or 11 building a doghouse is one thing, but these children, we're going to teach them how to build their own town. You know, you got the Boy Scouts. I don't know if they're still around. The Girl Scouts, the Brown. I don't know if all those groups are still around. I was a Cub Scout. But now we're going to have the Township Scouts.
Yes. And animal-friendly. Animal.
I got that on. Okay. Animal-friendly.
Yeah, animal.
If we look at it this way, there's more homeless people
than there are homeless adults or homeless animals. So we can empty all of the shelters throughout America and give support animals to every person that we give a home to.
Yes, that's true. I believe that the homeless, if they formed a political party, they'd be the largest constituency out of them all. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to organize. I think I'm going to do it.
Well, Madam Mayor, you have a platform now to do that. So, so we're up to 25 niche markets of micro townships. That's our business. We're in the micro township business. We're township entrepreneurs, and like I stated, for children, there's going to be the township scouts. So kids can be as young as, I don't know, 9 or 10, maybe 11. And, you know, because I was in the Cub Scouts, and they had this little booklet, and you had a den mother, and you had these little projects. Well, these projects will be building dog houses, bird houses, and actual houses, tiny houses, all off the grid. We're going to teach them about solar energy, how to eliminate electric bills, how to start their own business. That's what the Township Scouts will be about. And we're going to have a town built by kids, for kids. Can you imagine a 9 or 10-year-old, their self-esteem, how high it's going to be when they actually live? They have a house that they actually built?
Right. And
man, if somebody told me how to build a house at 9 or 10, I wouldn't be here right now.
And a whole community. And okay, now wait. You just said something though. Okay, you said if you knew how, but when we went to school, they had Scouts, 4-H Club. They taught shop in school, upholstery. You know, all these things that you could get a livelihood from. And then not too long before that, the settlers, they farmed the land, they worked the land, you know, and stuff like that. So they at one point we did, and we're not far removed from knowing how to build houses and stuff like that. Even when we were during the slave times, we would go down by the tracks and build the shanty houses.
Each one of these townships will have a community-based business.
Yes, more than one.
Business. And so we're up to 25. Our goal basically is to have a micro town representing each one of these markets and at least one of them. Right now, we're in Florida, where we actually do have land, and Texas, where we actually do have land. All right, so one of the goals is, like I said, we announce every day. We do a short highlight on a tiny town that's been around for 100 years or whatever it might be. And, you know, we teach people, you know, municipal towns, what they all have to offer, unincorporated towns, villages, private towns, closed towns, trading posts. You know, it's about six basic fundamental categories. People, you know, the ideas have really been flowing, but Maventown is on the ground, and then in Florida we have Earthwell Forest, and within Earthwell Forest we have Earthwell Village, but then we're going to split that up into maybe a couple of more tiny, not tiny, but micro towns. Like, for instance, right now, Earthwell Forest, which is in Florida, it's a 4-acre tract of land, and it's wooded with what I call solar pockets, where we can generate our own electricity using the sun. However, I'm thinking now, because Chris and Robin opened up my mind, is we'll take two of the 4 acres, and make it a 2-acre town, because we already have Earthwealth E-Village, which stands for Earthwealth Energy Village. And in future podcasts, I explain what the E, because it's everything we need energy-wise, it's right there. All right. Without, we don't do, I don't know about anybody else, but we don't do municipal power. We don't do municipal water. We don't do municipal electricity. No parts of it. We don't do municipal sewer. We have the skill sets and everything to have our own sanitary system and all that. So, but taking 2 acres for Earthwealth E-Village, which stands for Earthwealth Energy Village, and doing, that's a 2-acre town within Earthwealth Forest, and then having 2 1-acre towns, because I featured on here before Punkyville, what do you call it, Kentucky, which is a famous thing, but it's one of the times that I've run across. So, you know what? It's the United States, man, as far as I'm concerned. Once you know how to get a sweet spot, in my opinion, myself in the United States, the first sweet spot that I discovered, where, in my opinion, as a black man in the United States, in my personal experiences now, I can't speak to anybody else, was when I stepped off the bus in Zanesville, Ohio. When I stepped off that bus in Zanesville, Ohio, I said, I am now in the United States of America, and with this idea of you can basically do anything you want to do. And a 10-minute drive outside of Zanesville, but I was here for a week retreat in another part of Ohio, about 20 minutes away from Zanesville. But 10 minutes outside of that, when I went to the place where I was staying. So, but in my travels, I discovered, all right, there are other ground zeros, okay? Like, now, for instance, in Texas, where Maben Town is, all right, I'm going to tell you what to avoid in Texas. And Texas has got 3 of the largest cities in the United States. All right, well, let me give the stats again for the new people. There are over 108,000 towns in the United States. That's towns that have anywhere from a population of 1 person to over 8 or 9 million, like New York City. All right. Now, like I said, and there's only 10 of them that have a population of 1 million or more. Texas has 3 of those cities. San Antonio has over 1 million people. Dallas, Texas has over 1 million people. Houston, Texas has over 1 million people. Okay. We like the model in our micro townships that we set up. Like Houston, Texas was founded by 2 brothers who bought 2,000 acres of land. All right. And when they died, when they passed on, I doubt if Houston, Texas had 2,000 people. It's over 2 million people that live in that metro area now. Over 1 million that live in the city. All right, so so Texas has got those, and then what do you call it? Austin is, it got over 900,000, so it's knocking at the door. But in the state of Texas, as well as many states across the United States, the little bitty towns or places where that are not even towns yet. Houston, Texas was not Houston, Texas until those two brothers, they bought the land. I don't even know how long they didn't. On day one when they bought their 2,000 acres of land, the town, that space of land, that 2,000 acres of wilderness was not called Houston, Texas. I don't know how long it took them to come up, with that name, or even if they came up with it. Maybe somebody else down the line came up with it. All I know is they bought over 2,000 acres of land. So that's why we read the tiny towns every day. I haven't even reached a town that has a population of 50 people yet. And we've featured 24 to give you we give you a history. If we can find a history, we'll tell you the history. But in 2023 and beyond, with the micro townships, the two-acre towns, and some might be 20-acre townships, all right, and there'll be individuals out there that, because now we have an educational system with this that we do online, but then that's going to prepare you for what you have to do offline. All right. So in our communities, they rely heavily on social capital, not social services. So anyway, I think you'll find it very interesting. So it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. If you're used to bus lines, subway systems, the social services office, these micro townships will not be for you. But if you're ready to be a digital nomad, work from the comfort of your home, entrepreneurship, farm-to-table food, fresh, the communities that we start will be right for you. Okay, so I hear I'm pet sitting here. I'm pet sitting. Well, I already had a dog. I'm pet sitting a pig, and we'll have a place. You know what? People that need to looking for. I'm adding that on. Oh, well, you know what? I'm gonna include that in the animals. 26. So if you're going on vacation, we'll have a 2-acre town or maybe a 20-acre town just for pet lovers. You're going out of the country, you're going on vacation, you're going away for the weekend. We'll have a township just for that. So thank you, Robin, for that idea. Okay.
Hey, L.A.
Now, because I got to go.
Can I?
Yeah, yes.
Can I say real quick?
Chris.
All right. I was going to say, I was just having a discussion with somebody.
Say that again, Chris. Right, I missed it.
We've got a 5-acre town, or 5-acre property. It's a farm. And there's animals, ducks, chickens, and goats. But there's 2 acres that was just set aside this morning to start a community. There are 2 homeless people out there that just showed up to the property. There's 7 people that were already on the property. And I took one boy from Bloomington here to the property. He's been there ever since. But we can build on it, and we need to build right now, immediately. There is a problem in the community right outside where this farm is, that a big homeless population.
Uh-huh.
And he just said to me, they'll build, and we already have the people on site to build each of the little tiny houses, but we need to set up tiny houses on there. There's a new 2-acre community right there. It's in right outside Kankakee, Illinois.
Oh, bring them on. I was in Kankakee County because I was over at I flew into Chicago, met a couple people. We drove to Kankakee. I went to Pembroke and Hopkins Park. And Hopkins Park and Pembroke go back to the Underground Railroad. And I've featured them before, but I'm familiar with that. And it's not that far from Chicago. It's like a 45-minute to hour drive outside of Chicago. So bring them on, this week, and we can, promote a 5-acre town. Bring them on. We have a phone call here, I think, from 1-1.
What are we saying, Chris?
No, go ahead and take the phone call.
Well, he went to Walmart, shut the break room, and every damn thing here.
All right, 111, your mic is open.
I just come after you.
111?
Now they're getting worse. They're coming after kids, everything in the way.
I don't know what that's all about.
Okay. Computer
I'll open up
111,
but I don't know. I don't know what that's simply somebody that calls all online. That's normal. But let me open up it again. Let me see.
They
kind of
blow
your
ass up.
Whoever
else
is
111.
It's trying to hear that.
Hello,
y'all. Nigga hanging with your thug.
Okay, no, we ain't having that today. It's rare that we get a prank or a disturbing phone call. It's very rare, but no, we not today. Okay, I have to mute that, and I booted them off. So anyway, all right, well, yeah, Chris, bring them on, and Dr. T anytime. Because this is we have something very unique here, and this is where the ball's going. This is where the ball's going. Two acres of time. I mean, it can be. Oh, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity here. So 2-acre towns, 5-acre towns. But let's close out with the Madam Mayor. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
All right, Madam Mayor. Okay, because we've been getting some good quality. Close us out. What's give us the rundown again on your vision for Mabantown, Texas.
Mabantown, Texas is going to be a community for veterans, housing for veterans, and community-based business. There's going to be a food park, a greenhouse, and a entertainment venue. Yes, an amphitheater.
Now, did you say food park?
Yes.
Did you say food park, F-O-O-D?
Yes, a food.
What is a food park?
A food park. So, you know how you have a food court in the mall?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have a food park. And it will be of different vendors, but the theme will be on the different restaurants and foods. So a food park instead of a food court. Mm-hmm. Yes. So the greenhouse and the community garden could feed into that, and it's all sustainable for the community. If you will, yeah.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
So we got.
Yeah, mainly
got
the
25
niches.
All right. We got 25 niches, and you know what? That prank call that came in.
Yep.
Anytime you get a hater that calls up, that means you're on the right track.
Yeah, and we got a slot for them too. We got a village for comedians too. You got jokes? Come on in, join the club.
You know what?
You know.
Oh, now Rob Novelty is a niche village.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a niche village. Now we couldn't call it. We couldn't, right? Soul Train Town or Soul Train Village, because there's a bunch of those people out there. We might get some pushback on the name, though.
Oh, my
anyway,
goodness,
that's
yeah.
Another conversation. We're going to log off for today. Everybody have a good rest.
Well,